Here it go. Welcome to what I think is the 41st episode of Born in Trouble. I'm your host, John X. Here we go, streaming live. And tonight we have a dearth of guests, but we have a great one. A gentleman I met on the Wisdom app, the one, the only Chocolate Yoda.
Hey, hey, what's going on? So this is hopefully a case of quality over quantity. We'll see.
There you go. There you go. You know, tonight I have to give a big shout out to Mr. Brooks with the good looks in New Jersey. My man is working the baseball game tonight, Grant Lancaster. He said he may or may not make it. Probably not. I think he's got an NFL event tonight. And Reg was supposed to be here by now. Haven't heard from him, and unfortunately, he's in a tornado zone, so hopefully he's not doing his Dorothy thing right now. You know, so that would be a negative. I told him he should come on anyway because it would make for a great visual if it happened, but, you know. So, Yoda, tell us a little bit about yourself. You have a podcast?
Yes, the podcast is called The Persistent Rumor. And I am first and foremost a father, keynote speaker, seminar leader, coach, and consultant. And I just, you know, I like to share what's on my mind. And sometimes people listen, sometimes people don't. But either way, I'm talking.
There you go. You know, Yoda is another one of these gentlemen that I met on. Oh, Reggie just hit me up. He's on his way. Another one of the gentlemen I met on the Great Wisdom app, you along with Andrew Johnson, who also, I could have hit up Andrew tonight, you know, a little bit late, but Andrew and Reg, where we used to have a chance to come on and express our views, and they changed it to a strictly namaste video, please. I know, I don't get that, you know.
Boom. Yeah.
Eventually everybody sells out, right?
So that's, hey, listen, that's what America's predicated on, right? It's all about commerce.
It is. And we're going to get into a couple of things about commerce. I don't know how versed you are, but do you know anything about the Puff situation? Do you have any opinions on that, you know, that whole nonsense?
It's only on the periphery. I'm aware that it's happening. I'm aware that of the general allegations against him. And the only thing I can say is that nobody really knows anybody, so we shouldn't be surprised at all when someone comes up a little dirty, you know? Yeah. And I don't know what the situation is. I have no idea whether he's innocent, guilty, or whatever. But I do know that history is littered with people that seem really, really cool and then aren't. That's what the book Mommy Dearest was about and film Mommy Dearest was about, right? Joan Crawford turned out to be an awful human being. Bing Crosby's child wrote a book about him, and he was a terrorist. He was an absolute psychotic terrorist to his own
around
family.
Christmas every year.
Yeah. And I was raised by a man like that. So I was fathered by a man like that. So I get it. Like, you know, the fact is that just because you like someone's whatever, whether it's their performance as an athlete or their performance as an artist, whatever it is they do that you consume that you like, that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with who they are as human beings. Right. And I mean, there was a guy who was a pillar of the community, had a family, had a business, was in every civic organization in his town, was well respected by everyone who knew him. He even dressed as a clown to entertain sick children in hospitals, but he had one flaw. And that is that he liked to kidnap, torture, rape, and murder teenage boys. And his name was John Wayne Gacy. So, there you go.
Breaking that one down. And we're joined by Mr. Reggie Wood. Reg, how you feeling today, bro?
I'm good. What's going on, fellas?
Same old same, man. Reggie. We thought you got swept up by the tornado for a second there.
I'm still in Kansas, Ohio.
That's a good deal. Me and Yoda were just talking about, you're familiar with Chocolate Yoda from the formerly the Wisdom app, now the Namaste app. you know, so.
Yes, sir. I just saw that there was a whole rebrand and everything. I was like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I'm not part of it anymore.
They didn't want us because we were way too aggressive. If you're trying to get people to calm down and you want them to meditate and do yoga and stretch, we weren't necessarily the ones because we might be more inclined to say something that'll make you go, ugh. You know, so.
Yeah, you know, that's a fair statement.
Fair statement. So they definitely took us out of there. But we were just talking about, you know, the thoughts about what's going on with the Diddy situation, which is something that, of course, I have a little bit more knowledge to because I knew the cat directly. Not that directly, though. Not in a sexual way whatsoever. But I was thinking about the Ed Lover video that came out. And he pretty much summed up my whole experience with it. And what that is that, like I was saying before in this show, what people don't realize, and Yoda, you just kind of doubled down on it without me saying anything, is that you don't realize what these people actually are. It's not just actually him. It's even the artist. And I saw someone else that said, for example, if you want to be famous, a lot of times those people... Would you like to have sex with a man in order to become a famous rapper and get a platinum album? Probably not. But a lot of them caved. Yeah, a lot of them caved very quickly because what they want and that attention and that spotlight is more important to them than their bodies.
Yeah. Not being tampered with.
You're right. Not getting
tampered. Well, you know, we can get more fundamental than that, right? Because let's take the focus away from the salaciousness and away from him specifically. The fact is that there are married couples that sleep next to each other every night that don't know what the other person is up to. You know, how many times does it happen where a grieving widow will show up to her husband's funeral and another grieving widow shows up to the same guy's funeral? Okay. So the idea that just because we enjoy someone's content is that we're close, warm, personal friends with them is just silly. You know, that's when like when Chris Brown was accused of hitting Rihanna and there were women going, he couldn't possibly do that. It's like, based on what? Because you like his music?
Right.
You know?
Because they find him attractive. My daughter loved Chris Brown. And I was like, no way. I was like, no way. But, I mean, unfortunately, this is the business. The business is, my whole thing with it is that it's not just him. He's just the one that's being called out right now. He's the one that's being pulled out. And a lot of it is because it's a great big distraction. They want the black community focused on this guy who really doesn't have anything to do with your daily lives.
Right.
You know, if you really want to break it down. What happens with him and what he did, because he made hits and he made people he helped people to make hits and create hits over... Now, really, it's over two decades now. You know, three decades. We were in the studio in 1994. That's like damn near 30 years, right? Yeah.
By the way, do you know who got him his internship, his first job in the business with Andre Harrell?
No, who?
Francesca Spiro, who's a woman that I dated for 4 years.
Mm.
She brought him into the industry... And then later on went to work for him and then sued him for AIDS discrimination back in, I think, 2009.
Wow.
And it was in the papers for one day and then disappeared.
Of course. Of course. Because, I mean, it's much like Cassie. Cassie was out there. It's just that the world is bigger now. It hit for one day and the next day it was settled. It was gone. And people were like, oh, we thought we were going to get to talk about this for a lot longer period of time. And we still are talking about it. You know, but my thing was with Ed Lover, what he was saying in the video was that we have these artists that we have these people in there. They're all going after him now, and this is not to defend him whatsoever, you know, because mm-hmm. no one that I personally know liked Puff. Nobody liked dealing with him. None of them liked dealing with him whatsoever. But he's not the only one. He's just the one that's basically been thrown out there right now. And you have to ask yourself why. Why is it that right now it's important to pull this guy out and make him an example, to drag him through the community? And the reason being, to me, in my opinion, is that it's just a great big distraction. And it kind of goes back to the whole thing about black men with power. If you have power, you get to a certain point. They want to pull you down. They want to get you back to level. What do you think about that?
What if that's not the agenda at all? Even though it could be, but that starts to sound like a conspiracy to me, which, again, not beyond the possibility. However, what if he was just caught doing something and this is just when it happened?
Well, what Ed Lover was saying was that it's based upon his dealings with the alcohol company, which is a major, I forget the name of the company, but he had Ciroc. Everybody thought that Ciroc was his. It wasn't. He just actually did something with the branding. I believe mm-hmm. where I had read that he was getting somewhere around $50 million a year from them. They bought mm-hmm. De Leon Vodka. And they started pushing De Leon. Puff decided that he was going to sue them for racism. And they were basically, what Ed Lover's theory is, that they were like, you know, you're just an N-word. And, you know, we're going to put you back in your place.
Yeah. Well, this is the Bill Cosby theory of buying NBC, right? So having worked with multi-billion-dollar companies in the past, I was in corporate sales for 36 years. I can tell you that when a company wants to buy you and you don't want to sell, you just say no, thank you. You don't have to create this whole story, this whole drama, this whole conspiracy. You just don't sell, right? And if they have the ability to do a leverage buyout, then they do it. That's how business works. Because we would literally be hearing about dozens of these accusations every day if business was the motivation for it. But I just don't see it.
Okay. What do you feel about that, Reg? Possibility, not possibility.
I'm with Yoda because that's a French based company, isn't it?
They're a French based company, but according to Ed Lover, they're involved in pretty much every major corporation throughout the world, and it's an extremely powerful conglomerate. It's not just okay. there reaches a little bit deeper.
And Ed Lover would know.
that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if Ed Lover is checking a bunch of balance sheets every day and going down different rabbit holes with corporate ownership and stuff. So I don't. What he said is kind of moot. I was hearing something about, and I can't even think of who was. Well. I was hearing something about he may have been involved in entertaining a lot of powerful, you know, political people, especially like entertainment people, that the last several years he's been organizing a lot of stuff and just, you know, setting up a lot of parties and whatnot. And that who knows what was being taped. Either caught on camera, taped, caught on camera, or, you know, any kind of communication to disseminate, you know, the invitations and all of that type of stuff. That's kind of what I've been hearing.
Yeah, I don't believe that either. The Bilderberg organization has pretty much every world leader and even people several steps lower than world leaders that are involved in it. And you never hear anything about that because they do what Dave Chappelle does when he's doing an impromptu show. They take all your communication. So there are no recordings. Here's what I think. I think that when business starts to get into the billions with a B, all roads lead to Epstein's Island. And I'm using that as a metaphor, right? So at a certain point, And this is whether you're at that level or you're trying to work with that level of clientele, you're going to have to make a decision as to how depraved do you want to behave. And some people will make that decision to be as depraved as they need to be in order to get the money that they're looking for. And they all have dirt on each other. That's why when you talk to these people that belong to the Skull and Bones fraternity, right? That's what it's called, right? Skull and Bones?
Yeah, that's the version, yeah.
So when you look at their rituals, there's always homosexuality involved. And I'm not saying that as a judgment. It's just a statement of fact. These weird rituals that they have that always, and why? Because as they ascend in their various industries, they always have that on each other. You know, it's like a guy that finishes killing someone and then comes back and tells you about it, whether you like it or not. Now you're an accessory. So if he goes down, you go down. And so you have that against each other for the rest of your lives. And it's that kind of thing. And unfortunately, it's how business is done worldwide. And whether Puff is involved at that level, I don't know. I don't particularly care. But if he is, he is. I tend to lean on Occam's razor that it's usually the simplest thing. And in my mind, the simplest thing is he got caught. Period.
Okay. Absolute power corrupts absolutely came to mind as you were speaking.
100%.
Not sure about the whole court thing, because I think that what he did was pretty much the worst kept secret in the history of the music business.
Exposed. So he got exposed, you know. And listen, these things happen. E. Jean Carroll is a perfect example of this. This was a thing. I've been a New Yorker almost my whole life. I was born in the Dominican Republic. We came here when I was 2. Okay, so for the past 57 years, I've been a New Yorker. Everybody knows what a piece of garbage Donny Dump is. Okay, anyone in the New York area, like the people that watch The Apprentice might not know this, but the people who live in and around New York, we knew this guy's just garbage, right? And so what happened? For decades, E. Jean Carroll had to live with what had happened to her, and then the law changed, and she now had the opportunity to expose what he did. So even though something can be a quote-unquote open secret, or someone might not be exposed to the things that they do for a long time, sometimes, you know, as Billy Joel sang, you pay for your satisfaction somewhere along the line.
Well, you look at the parallels between Mr. Trump and or Donny Dump, as you like to call him. You've got a million, like, nicknames for the guy.
Mostly Donny Dump. Donny Dump, piece of shit, garbage. Right.
You know, you look at the parallels between him and Puff. You know, Puff has got the FBI raiding his stuff because he is accused of possibly... But no one's accusing him of rape, though. That's the one thing. I got you. So there's a difference there.
Yeah, I mean, those are details, right? But, I mean, Mayor Adams got raided by the FBI.
Yeah, right. Okay, but... You know, this is what's happening, and you just reminded me of that. And it just so happens that it seems like, you know, the black guys always get raided by the FBI, and the white guys get
True. Giuliani got raided by the FBI too. I am never going to argue that America is a racist country. It has been from the beginning. It remains a racist country. You will get no pushback on me about that, but to suggest that only black men suffer in this way, I would have to say that's absolutely not true.
I would agree with you on that, but I will add to that as a caveat that we're low hanging fruit, meaning that
without
it's very
question,
easy.
We're not in power. We're not the culture that's in power. So yes, right. They can abuse us at will.
Right, low hanging fruit. So you know, and at the same time, it's like no one is actually safe from that. You look at the MyPillow guy; he just got evicted today from his factory. You know, and it's like I just wonder, like, you know, what would make you want to be friends with this man? It seems like all of these great people, all of these people that have had these great careers and everything. Like, I don't admire Giuliani. You know, he's not my cup of tea, but he had a great career before he started messing with Trump. Yeah. And then look at what happened. Look at his attorney, the guy that's on Cohen, the one that's on the news all the time. He had
well, that's what MAGA means. Life. Make attorneys get attorneys.
Oh, shit. You ever hear that one, Reg? That's a good one.
Yeah, that's
oh, there's a long line of dump attorneys that have either been disbarred, disciplined, or are facing jail, or in the case of Michael Cohen, have gone to jail. I mean, that's just that again, you pay for your satisfaction somewhere along the line. You hitch your wagon to a wannabe dictator and you think that you're gonna ascend in the world as a result, and you were wrong. So now you gotta pay up. Fuck you.
Do you think that that's the end game, though? All of these people are hoping that, or they're planning on him winning, so that way, as a dictator, he can reinvigorate them, reinvigorate their lives, their careers? Sure.
Oh, of course. And he's promised to do that. So this is not even something we have to wonder about. Like, he said it out of his own mouth.
Okay. You know, it's a ridiculous thing. You know, so to me, and you know, Reg, what do you think about the MyPillow guy, for example? You know, could you see yourself putting yourself out there for a politician for Obama? Would you put your livelihood on the line for him?
That's just what's so strange about this is that so many of these guys have been willing to hitch their wagon to him. Only to like hasten their demise, and I don't get it.
I think I might be able to suggest an answer for that, and it'll start in the form of a question. Do you know what rich and powerful people want? More wealth and more power. Right. So. It doesn't matter what the bank balance sheet said. Like, let's say Dump is a prime example. Here's a man who was handed an empire, and I mean that literally. His father had created 22,000 rental units, $400 million in cash, relationships with the legal system, relationships with the political system, and little Donnie just emerged from his nutsack as, you know, a king, right? And instead of just doing nothing and letting his money build and build and build, which is what it would have done, and, you know, according to a few people I've seen break down the math, he would have been worth somewhere around $20 billion by now if he had just done nothing. Just let the adults run the company. Don't do anything speculative. Don't gamble the money away. But instead, Donnie, because of his psychosis, had to keep gambling to the point where he was trying to sell steaks out of the Sharper Image catalog. I mean, what kind of fucking nonsense is that? You know, do you know that, by the way, that the steak business, Dump Steaks, went out of business in 2 months? How bad of a business do you have to be to go under in 2 months?
You've got to be pretty bad. You've got to be pretty bad. I mean, a lot of the rich people that I've met, the ones that have actually, not the ones who have actually made their fortunes, but the ones that were born with their fortunes, some of them seem to, they lack purpose. And that might be like what Trump's thing is. And then also from where he comes from, you know, we all know that his grandfather was a brothel owner. You know, they made their money off a horse. You know what I'm saying? He's no different than your average pimp. They're your pimp family that basically flipped it over. Yeah. And the way that they got the real estate is because they were buying whorehouses. Yeah. Buying whorehouses, you flip them, you make money off them for a while, you flip them, and all of a sudden, you're a real estate entrepreneur years later. You know, this is his pathway. And they feel Trump has this sort of like inferiority complex when it comes to rich people.
He's got every complex there is.
Yeah, he definitely does. There's an inferiority piece there. And I just don't understand why people would fall. And why are black people praising him? Why are they pushing him? You know,
well, that's propaganda. I mean, that's a whole huge discussion. I mean, I've been into psychology since junior high. So that's over 45 years at this point. And I'm no psychologist. I just play one in my mother's disappointed dreams. But I can tell you that propaganda is the most powerful communication and manipulation tool known to human beings. And everyone is susceptible to it, even myself, even though I'm aware of it. And there is no longer journalism taking place in the mainstream. All people are getting is either left-wing propaganda or right-wing propaganda. The slight distinction that I can make is that the right-wing propaganda is basically all lies, and the left-wing propaganda is fewer lies, but it's all propaganda. And so if you're an average person, which I am solidly average as an American, you don't have time. I'm lucky. I have space in my schedule every day where I get to consume the facts of what's going on. I've been following Donnie Dump's legal woes every single day, 7 days a week for 2 years now. I know everything that's happening in all of his legal cases. And the average person will never consume that much information about anything. They don't have time. No. People are just trying to put food in their mouth and keep a roof over their head. And so the people that produce propaganda rely on that. They can give you headlines like, is Obama a Muslim? Right? That was a headline in the newspaper in 2008 when Obama was running. And of course, if you read the article, the answer was no. But how many people read the article? They knew people weren't going to read the article. That was the early version of clickbait, right? Just put out a headline that's going to get people's attention, and it's going to guide their thoughts a certain way and rely on the fact that they will never read the content to see what the facts are. And that's what people are dealing with. Because, I mean, to me, a black Republican is one of the saddest creatures on earth. Because you have aligned yourself with a party that actively hates you and makes no secret of hating you. And so to me, you must hate yourself. If you're going to align yourself with a party that hates you, you must hate yourself. And so I aside from that minor judgment that I'm making, I give people a lot of leeway when it comes to not knowing what's really happening out there.
That was the same thing that was at play with the Biden and the jungle comment. Like, I don't want to send my daughter to a jungle or something.
Yeah.
But if you read the entire the article at that time, he wasn't talking. People just black people in particular jumped on. He said we're a jungle and we're the animal, but mm-hmm. that's if you read the whole article, that's really not what he said.
Right.
Well, if you look at that in context and compare it to all of the things that Trump did, you know, the fact that there have been lawsuits about him not renting to black people in his buildings, just a number of different things. I don't understand why black people would want their oppressor. And I was thinking about it today, and the only thing I came up with was just very simply this. I've noticed a polarization over the past 8-12 years, where it used to be that black people or melanated people, African descent, whatever you want to call it, were more into integration. And now it seems like inner cities have given up on that completely and totally. It's like it's not even something that even crosses their minds anymore. They don't think about, it's really that old thing where you would see them in the South, you would see black people in the South, and your father would ask you, like, you know, you're working on a farm, what do you want to be? I want to grow up to be a teacher. Ah, boy, you ain't going to be nothing but a nigger. You know, it's not possible for you. Stop reaching high. Stop dreaming high. You know, stop thinking about these things. These goals are not attainable to you. And It's the only thing that I can really use to justify the thought process of empowering a man and a group of people that are so outwardly racist and outwardly root for your demise as black people. You know, it's not even a matter of, that is an economic, that is pandering to the poor whites.
It's propaganda. I think Harriet Tubman purportedly said it best. I don't know if this is a quote from her, but it has been attributed to her. She said, "I would have freed more people if they had only known they were slaves."
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we're dealing with, a bunch of slaves and slave mentalities. You know, I was in a group. I'm in a group, basketball group. And this guy, he said something wrong to me in the group chat the other day. And he was just like, and I was just like, "Look, man, like I just got fed up." I was like, "I'm fed up with you guys. Like, you know, you just want to, you guys just really want to, if you want someone to think for you, you want somebody to tell you what you are, tell you what to think, tell you how to move, where you can move, and tell you absolutely everything, then keep going on the path that you're going on." You know, because that's what Trump is pushing. Trump is, he wants to be a dictator. And the white people want to enforce his dictatorship. It's just a matter of, as long as you have someone who is underneath you, we're good.
Yeah. Well, that started the change in the Republican Party in the 60s, the Southern Strategy. Right. That's what it was all about. It was all about, let's create a boogeyman. You know, this was nearly 100 years after the Civil War had ended, but they needed to create a boogeyman. And, you know, the boogeyman du jour changes. Sometimes it's the Russians. Sometimes it's the Chinese. Sometimes it's the Middle Easterners. And when that doesn't work, it's the brown guys are coming to get you. You know, it's all the same nonsense. And, you know, unfortunately, it works, you know, and I think that describing Dump as a wannabe dictator is accurate. I mean, he said so. He said, "I want to be a dictator for a day," which, of course, is hilarious because that's never happened. But as I said to you before we started, this is reminiscent of Germany in 1932. Right before Hitler was made chancellor, there was an inflection point, right? Do we do this or do we not? You know, and they did it, and the rest is literal history. And now America is facing that same choice. I think it's nearly impossible for Dump to be reelected. He's facing the same guy that beat him handily last time, and his popularity has gone down while the other guy's popularity has gone up. And, I mean, Dump has lost about 25% of his base. So mathematically, I just don't see how he's going to bridge the gap. But the fact that he's even on the docket, that he is the nominee, is terrifying. It just means that America is in a real bad place. And America is still a young empire. And, you know, the average age for an empire is 250 years, and America's barely been an empire for over 100 years. You know, it was really after World War I where we stepped into the void that was left by Germany. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is a country that in less than 100 years of its existence went to war against itself over the question of slavery. And now we're in a place where we're trying to figure out if fascism's cool again.
Right, you know,
it's crazy.
Right,
we're some crazy shit.
And we're gonna pick that back up because I'm gonna talk about bricks a little bit. But I got the City Wing King from Chocolate City. What's happening?
What up, though?
What up, though, Mr. Grant Lancaster? How you feeling tonight, brother?
I'm good, man. Just I see I jumped in on the heavy end.
Yeah, you got something to add to that? This is, by the way, Grant. This is Chocolate Yoda. Chocolate Yoda this is my boy, Grant Lancaster.
Good to see you, my man.
Pleasure meeting you.
Yeah, so do you have anything to add to that, Grant? You know, any thought process on that? You know, what I was talking about before you came was, I was wondering, you know, why is it that black people are picking up on this guy, Trump? because I just don't see it. I see black people defending him and telling and saying that they want to vote for him, and his numbers have actually gone up with the black community. You live in the Chocolate City, bro. Like, do you see any? Do you hear this anywhere? No. Or no, you don't.
No, no. There's very little Trump love around here. That you know, among people that I talk to, you know. Now maybe I just talk to like-minded people.
Okay.
But I don't see it. I'm with Chocolate Yoda. I would be amazed.
You would be amazed
if he was able to pull it off. Yeah, I would be amazed.
Were you amazed the first time?
Yes, I was.
Well, and why wouldn't you be? I mean, the other person got 2.9 million more votes, so of course it was amazing.
So I'm going to tell you this. I was more amazed at the fact that I don't believe he really was trying to win.
Oh, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I agree.
He thought he was going to lose. He was saying it was rigged up until he won.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm going to be amazed if he wins again.
2.9 million more votes, you know, that's a lot of votes. It's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know if the only thing that really gave me any type of hope today, I actually listened to TikTok for the first time for about maybe 20, 25 minutes. And they were having a conversation about Trump. And a lot of people were saying and these were Caucasians, and they were stating that they didn't want him back in because they were afraid of a dictator. They were saying that they don't want to be a part of a dictatorship. They don't want to be underneath this guy. Nobody believes that if he is elected that he's going to leave.
How could, for those types of white people, how could you get mad about Colin Kaepernick in 2016 and how he disrespected the flag and the anthem and all of that type of stuff? And then we have a man who sits here and talks about suspending or getting rid of the Constitution.
He changed the words to the national anthem, you know.
Exactly. So,
yeah, just in case nobody knows this, at his nightly Hitler rallies that he calls campaign rallies, he starts off with a song.
Oh, yeah.
That the J6 inmates recorded that changed the words of the national anthem, and he refers to them as hostages and patriots.
Wow.
Every time he opens one of his rallies.
Wow, that's
deep. So I'm really blown away and then the fact that, like I said, and I think I've said this before on Born in Trouble, that being a 70s baby, 80s baby, however you want to look at it, without question, everything Russia, Moscow, USSR, Soviet Union, all of it was bad. And it's like nowadays, it's like Soviets ain't so bad. They don't think I'm racist. And they didn't say this. And they Putin, he ain't so bad.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to what John was saying about Dump's psychological shortcomings. He loves powerful men, and he doesn't care what the context of their power is
at all.
He doesn't care that they're brutal dictators. He doesn't care that their people are suffering. He only cares that they're powerful, right? Like, I've been watching this guy for a long, long time, and like the words that he chooses to, like when there was a news conference with him and Putin sitting side by side, and the question came about, you know, Putin's involvement in this, that, and the other thing. And Dump said, oh, Putin powerfully disclaimed that he was involved with that. And he uses the word powerful a lot. And because he knows he lacks power, and he's craving power. And so every dictator on earth is appealing to him, because even though they're the terrible version of power, they're still powerful. And he envies that tremendously.
Amazing. And he's a lot of this is about him staying out of jail.
It's all about that. That's the only thing that he wants to do right now. And it's not going to help him, which is funny. But because let's say the unbelievable happens and he does win, he's just delaying the inevitable, because as soon as he leaves office, all of those things are still going to be there for him. But we have a trial starting in just a few days in New York City. Thank goodness for New York City, the city I love, right? They are going to hand him his first criminal conviction. And by the way, a lot of Republicans that have been on the fence about Dump have stated very clearly that if he gets convicted of even one criminal charge, they're not voting for him. So he's losing his base. He's losing small donor money. He's losing large donor money. Talk about donations, campaign funding, right? In all of February, Dump raised $20 million. Last Thursday, Biden raised $25 million in one night.
This is why I was on here telling you guys, I know it was 3-1 on y'all went against me on it, but I'm just like, it's too messy. And a bunch of my neighbors are just like, they don't even pay attention what's going on with him right now, because it's just too messy. And it's been messy for 6-7 years now. And it's just like, they don't have a alternative. And they can't go do the right thing and solve anything. And it's just like, well, I'll tune back in the next time around or something. But it's just nothing to do with this guy.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Listen, like I said, the average person doesn't have time for all this stuff.
We don't. I'm glad you said that.
They really don't. I never hold it against anybody for being ignorant of what is going on in politics. Talk about a mess. I mean, it's the worst mess I've ever seen. The Republican Party is basically gone now. And by the way, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I don't give a fuck about any of that stuff. The whole Hatfield-McCoy thing that exists in America is predicated on pitting one group against another.
Bullshit.
It is complete bullshit. But right now, we're down to one party. The Republican Party is gone. Let me give you some context to this. Back in, I think it was 1918, around there, Teddy Roosevelt called the Congress of that time the Do Nothing Congress, right? That was his big insult. He accused them of doing nothing. In that year, that Congress passed 300 different laws. Last year, the Republican Congress passed 37 pieces of law. So you want to talk about do nothing, chasing Biden and his imaginary dragon? I mean, it's crazy what's going on now. And I don't blame people for just tuning out. It's a ridiculous thing to be involved in.
Now, we normally don't get too deep. Go ahead, Grant. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, isn't that the name of the game in 2024, though? Like, the messier, the better. The more, because the sensational headline is really
run a podcast,
right? But that's what I'm saying. The sensational headline is really all that people read. They don't delve into the article. They're not cross referencing anything. They're not fact checking. They just read the sensational headline, maybe the byline, and then they move on to the next thing. But that's the talking point is the headline.
Well, I think
that messiness is what keeps you is what keeps you in people's mouths.
I think a lot of these short-sighted sons of bitches really in the media really want Trump back because it's so exciting. You know, I've been shocked. You know, I don't watch the news anymore. I turned on CNN and it was Trump after Trump after Trump. If you don't want this motherfucker to win, why are you running stories back to back on this guy?
They don't care about who wins. They just care about how much ad space they can sell. Les Moonves admitted that, right? When Dump was running in 2015 and 2016, Les Moonves said specifically he's good for ratings. This is America. It's all about the dollar. Okay, the America is not any different than it's ever been. Okay. From day one, James Madison, the architect, the chief architect of the Constitution, said in the Constitutional, the first federal convention of 1787 in Philadelphia, the government should be so organized as to protect the opulent few from the other many. Okay? This has always been about the wealth class and about money and about business from day one.
How do you get that message across to the poor white person now? Who looks at Trump and they see someone who is, and for the life of me, I can't fucking figure it out. You know, like Grant, we both went to Brentwood High School. There were a large amount of white people there at that point in time. Any of them like Donald Trump? You know, we used to, you know, we would punch biffs. That I used to call those guys. Remember, I used to call them biff. Yeah. I used to be like, them dudes is biffs. That's a biff. You know what I'm saying? We punch biffs in the fucking face. You know, honestly, it's like, you don't have no place here. You know, this is like a working town. This is like, you know, even the racist people were, we all came together as working people.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I just don't, I don't get the whole Trump love thing. You know, it's this is the guy that's all propaganda. Yeah, this is the guy that grabs your girlfriend up and everything, convinces her to go in a room. She changes her mind, comes to her senses, but he takes it anyway, you know, and then he sends her back out to you and says, in his biff way, well, she wanted it. And this is what your thing is. Now we got these distractions with, we got all these distractions in the community and none of this stuff. I keep hearing these people and they have these things and they say, like, every time, I always think about you, Yoda. I always think about you when I hear this one thing that they say. And they say, yeah, but his policies. He had all these policies.
What policies?
But you ask them about the policies and they can't tell you.
He any had policy. Two policies. Yeah, here's Dump's two policies. Tax breaks for the wealthy, because he lowered their tax to 15%. And raiding the treasury by any means necessary. That's what he did.
It's like,
the man, there were 236 years and 44 presidents before him made up 75% of the deficit. His administration in 4 years is responsible for the other 25%. So what fucking policies are people talking about?
Would you agree that with
them opportunity zones?
Yeah, I saw somebody today. Somebody today put up that put up in an article because I was having Yoda on the show. I had to catch up, you know. Because to me, when it comes to Trump, I just hear Trump and I just go, I ain't fucking with that dude. You know what I'm saying? I already know what I'm gonna do. You know, on a voting day, I already know what that lever is going down. I can actually live stream that shit, and you will all see it. You know, whether it's not gonna be a lie. I'm not voting for fucking Trump, okay? I'm not happy with voting for Biden. You know, don't get it twisted, and that's another conversation completely, because what the Democrats have done is they've abdicated responsibility, and they look at Trump as a fucking free pass. I do recognize that they recognize that this guy is a free pass, because they know that people like us, when we hear the name Donald Trump, automatically start itching. So... we're not going to vote for it. So it's like, right now, you could put up a fucking iguana against Trump, and I'm going to vote for Trump. I'm not going to vote for Trump. It's not going to happen. So when I look at this guy, and I look at this situation, and I had to really get into it, do you think that all of the deficit money, the deficit that he created from his last presidency, has something to do with the inflation that we're experiencing now?
Almost all of it.
So, can we not get this?
There's a correlation.
Is there a correlation somewhere?
But there's also another correlation that's very important, and this again speaks to the nature of America. Katie Porter did a report that showed that roughly 54% of inflation is based on corporate price gouging. You know, these are companies, there's a long list of companies that made record profits in 2021 and then in 2022 raised their prices. Disgusting.
You know what would help with that? The infrastructure bill that Trump promised that he was going to put out to help businesses, be created, and grow. But
oh, how'd that go? Did he come through with that?
I don't think that he did, but I heard someone today say that he put $1 billion into the black community. And I'm like, fucking where?
Yeah, he took out 1.1 though.
Right.
He took out 1.1, right.
Right. Let me just say this about Joe Biden. I'll say two things. Number one, I can't stand the guy. Okay. And the reason I can't stand him is because before he was president, he enacted one of the worst pieces of legislation in American history.
Yes, sir.
Which was the MBNA legislation that made it so that people can't declare bankruptcy when they have credit card debt. This harmed people, like, in a serious, a lot of the reasons why people are losing their homes is because of shit like this. Mm-hmm. So I always thought he was a piece of garbage, but here's the thing. How I feel about him has nothing to do with the facts of his presidency. And no matter how much I dislike him, the facts of his presidential record are astonishing. What he's been able to accomplish has set records in many key areas like inflation, like employment, like manufacturing. You know, he is FDR 2.0 as far as I can tell. And this is coming from a guy that doesn't like him. But again, the facts don't care about my feelings.
That's a very good point. I personally am not feeling, I thought about it today, and I don't know if I can properly express my feelings. I'm angry at white Trump supporters, the non-racist ones especially. Okay, and I know that's like a bridge. A lot of people say, like, you know, the two things go together, like hand in hand. You know, that's like there's a glove and then there's a hand, and that's a racist white supporter, white Trump. And my thought on racism with some of these people is that some of them are just really too stupid to be racist. They don't know any better. You know, they just don't know any better. But the reason why I'm mad is because they put that motherfucker up. You know, at a time when this country really needs competition, really needs divergent points of view, really needs to come together with a common goal to basically fix a lot of the shit that's wrong, which is never going to get fixed at this point. Because 4 more years of Biden, and like you said, I mean, it's good for jobs, but are they living wage jobs for the most part? Are these...
The wages are up, but look, first of all, no one's going to fix the damage immediately, and to your point, I would add that the people in charge don't want to fix the damage. The system is only broken for us. It is working perfectly for them.
Exactly. Exactly. But the thing is, like, you know, I had a conversation with one of my lady's friends, and she's like an older white woman. And I was explaining to her, I was like, look, I said, you know, I was like, look, these white people, they're angry, but they have a right to be angry. And I've said it before here on Born in Trouble. You know, the reason why they're angry is because they don't understand privilege. When you say privilege to them, they say, oh, I wasn't privileged. I had to work for everything I got. Yeah, but you had to work based upon a job that you got because you were related to someone and because you knew someone who knew someone and they'd actually hire you. And they would allow you to work for 30 years. They got you into that union job. They got you onto that construction site. They got you into that municipality. They gave you those jobs. They allowed you to actually get into those jobs and flourish on a local level. And those jobs, a lot of those jobs have dried up over the past couple of years. And instead of pointing at the person who doesn't hire them and isn't making these things possible, they listen to Trump say it's the fucking Mexicans. Who are just coming over.
The horde at the border.
The horde at the border. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, when people talk about the border crisis, they might as well say a unicorn crisis because they're equally as imaginary. Nothing's happening at the border, folks. Just so you know, nothing is happening at the border. There is a border issue, and the issue is an administrative one. If you look at the border bill that a Republican negotiated, it's all administrative stuff. It's all more bodies to process more paperwork. It's more technology to process cases faster. Everything is administrative. That is an issue at the border. There are not hordes of barbarians waiting to crash the gates.
Well, I mean, we have seen a couple of people come over and get stabbed, you know, but I mean, same thing happens when you go to Acapulco.
Name me a city where this doesn't happen.
Crime is always created, and you know just as well as I do, you know, the amount of crime that they say is like bad crime now, quote unquote, crime is out of control and everything. I would love to be able to build a time machine and take these motherfuckers back to the 1980s and put them on a subway in 1981. Yeah. Let's ride the 2 train up to the Bronx in 1980.
By the way, do you know the film The Warriors, even though it seems outlandish, that is based on the real situation that was happening in New York City at the time.
Yeah.
Like that, I mean, yeah, they exaggerated it for film, but that stuff was happening.
That was crime.
Every block had beefs with every other block, and there were people fighting all the time. And look, I mean, it's this propaganda thing is far-reaching. Like, okay, Reggie, you're from Ohio?
Yes.
Okay, so you know that Ohio is more dangerous than New York, right?
I'll give you that.
Like, but is that what people think? No. People think New York is an extremely dangerous city. It's not even in the top 10, and literally Ohio is.
That's crazy. What about Detroit?
Here's the thing, though. This is, statistically, this is the safest time in the history of America.
Of the world,
across
actually.
The board.
Yeah.
Across the board. It's the safest time ever.
Mm-hmm.
But that narrative just keeps people, that narrative just plays on fear.
The boogeyman is coming to get you.
Right. Right. And when you put a black face to it, you know what I mean? Which is typically what they'll do.
Now you add all sorts of shit, right? You add the black guy. Right. Now, oh, his big black dick is going to violate your white daughter.
Hey!
Super predators.
Where's Rob when you need him?
It's not as if it doesn't happen. Right? Oh, you see? Yeah. Where's Rob when you need him to throw a joke out there? You know, I saw a cartoon the other day. It said, and it ended. It was a redneck story, and it ended with, it, please stay away from my daughter. You know, and I was like, oh, man. I was like, you know, listen, having Thanksgiving with a black person is not a criminal violation. You know, it may happen. Unfortunately, it's going to happen.
Right. Until 1967, it was. We're looking at you, Clarence Thomas.
Yeah. But you know what? You're not going to stop the loving. That's basically what it comes down to. And everything. You've got these girls out here. You know what I'm saying? As a brother, you don't have to go look for them. They'll find you.
Look, you know, I have a twist on an old saying. When in Rome, do the Romans.
Ah. Right?
I was raised in a white neighborhood. I was raised partly on Long Island from the age of 9 to 11. And, you know, I was the lone pepper in a sea of salt. So I had no choice, you know.
Well, the problem with the population, none of us have a choice.
See, well, the problem with that statement, they would say, is that, you know, you were 11 and dating 16-year-olds because, like, you're already looking at
it. That definitely never happened.
You know.
No. I didn't get my first girlfriend until I was 15, but literally the only choice that I had was to date white chicks. I was the cultural variation. There was nothing else. It was just me.
What Yoda means to say for people who are out here listening or will be listening to it is that Yoda was saying that I was the race traitor. I was the one that was dating all of the white women.
Well, you can only be a traitor if you have an option. I didn't have an option.
That's not true. Have you not listened to the internet, Yoda?
No,
you know what I'm saying? Have you not listened to these women on the internet?
Celibate or something?
Listen, you should have been celibate. You could have waited. You could have found the first black woman that comes across your path. You could have done everything you possibly could, whether you liked her or not, and got with her. You know,
that's true. So if that's the criteria, then label me a race traitor. That's fine.
Okay.
You know, I'll put on a t-shirt that says I fuck white chicks. I don't give a shit.
Bad. We got to have you back on the show. Hey, fellas, like, an hour just flies by, especially when it's only half an hour, Grant. You're late. Right.
G-Money.
Yes, sir. How you feel, Wood?
Good to see you, man.
Good to be seen, brother. Good to be seen.
Yeah, but fellas, this is it. The 41st episode of Born in Trouble is in the books. Our last two episodes have been on YouTube exclusively. I'm trying to push our numbers up on YouTube. It's going to sacrifice other places, but I find that when we don't put the episode out, the next episode usually blows up because people actually like to hear what we have to say, which is weird. What the hell is wrong with y'all? What are y'all smoking?
They're entertaining.
What are y'all smoking? But Chocolate Yoda, namaste, thank you. From the new man. Pleasure, man.
Listen, when you asked me to join tonight, I didn't even ask you what it was about. It didn't matter. You call, I'm coming running, brother.
Chocolate Yoda.
Now, the man. Do you do a podcast, man?
I do. It's called The Persistent Rumor. You can find it everywhere, audio, video, or you can look for Chocolate Yoda, spelled Y-O-D-D-A-H, because film studios are litigious.
Litigious. Tell it to Puffy. Tell it to Puffy. Who's yet to be charged with anything, by the way. And I started with Puff, so I'm going to end with Puff. Let me just say one thing about this brother. When that airplane left, the money went over to the Caymans. The tapes are spread out all around the country. I don't think Puff is going to do a day in jail, because I think that they're afraid of what he has, and I think he's probably the only brother that probably will get away with it scot-free.
Okay. Look, he might.
He might just. He might just. He might just.
Ain't no telling.
And I don't think it's a good thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. I just think it's a thing. I think that if you want to be a actor, a artist, or whatever, and you think that you're not going to have to have sex with somebody, you're probably sorely mistaken. And eventually, maybe we may get to a point in society where that doesn't happen. But then, where are we going to get less talented actresses who look really good in movies? How's that going to happen?
That's a perfect way to cap it off.
Yes. From Ohio, Mr. Reggie Reg, Reggie Wood. Tell the people about your podcast, Reg.
Hey, so Pay Me No Mind on YouTube, sports and entertainment. And then just trying to give you a different idea of what brothers my age do on It's Always Personal, which, like Chocolate Yoda's The Persistent Rumor, is everywhere. If you just, wherever you listen to podcasts, It's Always Personal.
There you go. Mr. Reggie Wood. I'm on a bowing thing this week. I've been.
Hey, you're not watching Shogun, are you?
No, I haven't watched it yet. I haven't had the time yet. I'm going to, though. I'm trying to get to Godzilla. That's my thing.
It's a great book.
Godzilla?
Shogun is a great book.
There's a book, no, Godzilla?
Shogun is a great book.
Oh, Shogun.
You read it, G-Money?
Yeah, man. Shogun. Yeah, Shogun is a great book.
Now, is that the book that the 1980s mini?
Yeah, same book.
On? Okay.
James,
so
I never saw the 80s series.
James Clavell.
Yeah, I never saw the 80s series, but I'm anxious to watch this one. I probably won't get to watch it until after the NFL draft, because this shit is starting to get bonkers around here, but I'm anxious to watch it.
Yeah, what's going on in the city of Detroit? You were late because the NFL was showing up this week.
Yeah, man. The NFL is you know, the draft is here in a couple of weeks, so the build out has begun for all of the shenanigans that are going to go on in the city over that 3-day period.
So where are they hosting it?
It's at Campus Martius. it's at an area called Campus Martius. You familiar?
I haven't heard of it.
Right downtown. So, you know, are you familiar with Hart Plaza downtown?
No.
So in our downtown, there's a Campus Martius is a spot that has like an ice skating rink. They have a couple of restaurants around there, like a little food truck areas over there. So it's a real hot spot just off the dribble. So, and it's right down toward the end of Woodward Corridor. If you're coming down Woodward,
I'm familiar with that. Woodward,
so Woodward dumps out into, if you take Woodward all the way down, well, you used to be able to take it all the way down to Jefferson. They've since put a barricade up at closer to Jefferson. So you can't go quite to Jefferson, but, Campus Martius is right there. So the draft is going to be right there. A bunch of hotels around and everything. So, yeah, it's gonna be real hectic around
here. So what's this in relation to Little Caesars Arena and Ford Field?
So it's probably half a mile from Little Caesars.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. Well, you know, Little Caesars, Ford Field, Comerica, they're all right in the same little spot,
right,
or little area.
Gotcha.
So it's about a half a mile from all of those.
Would you be available if I make my way up to Detroit? For that
so I'm working the event, so I'm working all 3 days. So I mean I'll be around, but I don't know how accessible I'll be based on the needs of the fire department, the NFL, and whoever else.
You couldn't really be a host of any kind.
Yeah, nah, that's not really gonna work.
So as a member of the fire department, could you perhaps sneak Reg in a back door in order to allow him to get into the draft? That would be the question.
So, yeah, if this was a fire department event, I would probably say yes. But because this is an NFL event and they don't even want us into shit, I'm going to say no.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, you know what? What you need to do is call up Diddy and tell the guy that you got some tape on him. And I'm sure you'll get anywhere you need to go. The City Wit King, Mr. Grant Lancaster. Better late than never.
That's right.
So, gentlemen,
good to see y'all, man.
Anything else that y'all would like to add to this? The only thing I'd like to add with this, you know, as far as Trump's policies are concerned, I'd just like to leave the people with one of his great policies that was a tax thing back in 2017. He passed this law that allowed for people who are making under $75,000 a year is to have their taxes go up every year from 2021 leading up to 2027. He wrote it into the tax law just to help out the little guy.
Beautiful.
And if you have any money after paying your taxes and complaining about Joe Biden, who gets the blame for it because he's president and everything, make sure you invest in his stock, which is going up like GameStop. Point in Trouble, 41st episode. Everybody, peace.
Peace.
And we're out.
Nice.
We're done recording. Gentlemen, thank you. Grant, I wish would have came in earlier. It would have been a much more lively conversation, as you can see, you know.
Yeah.
Chocolate Yoda knows everything about Trump hate.
Yeah, you got to pull it out of me, though. I'm very shy.
Well, what we got to do is every now and then, you know, you mentioned one of my favorites and everything, the Black Republicans, and I'd love to invite you back when I have my Uncle Timmy's Cabin Part 2 show. After Tim Scott, you know, because we're going to push him. Maybe I'll do that next week. We'll push him for vice president. But no, I can't do Trump 2 weeks in a row.
So, full disclosure, before I was livid the day when I found out I lost my